Well, you guys, we're doing something different today. As you notice, I'm not standing, and there's two of us. Yeah, so we're going to do a co-sermon, like a tag team. And you're like, this is weird. I don't like it. Come back next week. We'll do it different. But we're going to give this a shot. And so we're going to talk about something pretty important.
Right.
And my hope is that us doing this conversationally, like we're kind of wanting to invite everybody into this conversation to lean in. So, and people like long-form journalism and long podcasts. So let's just do like a podcast from the center.
With 300 of our closest friends right here.
Yes. All right, Bill, so to kick us off, what's our mission statement at Redeemer? Like, why do we exist as a church?
Yeah, what are we all about? So our mission is to know God, to become like Jesus, and to help others do the same. To know God, to become like Jesus, and help others do the very same thing.
Yeah, so like that's what we're all about. And we just wrapped up 2 Peter, and I love how explicit Peter is in talking about how God wants us to know him, not just intellectually, but relationally, how he wants us to be diligent in pursuing godliness and holiness, or he wants us to become like Jesus.
Right.
And I would say implicitly, he also talks about helping others do the same.
Yeah.
And so I love it. Just we'd build that case out of chapter 3, verse 9, where it says, "And the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." And so so we see God's heart is for people to know him and to become like Jesus. And so we're a part of that in the helping others do the same. So just unpack a little bit. Tell me, when we say help others do the same, that can be a little ambiguous. What does that mean? What do we mean by helping others do the same?
Sure. So if knowing God and becoming like Jesus, if that leads us to an abundant life, then the most natural thing that we could ever want to do would be to share that abundant life with other people. It's kind of like if you find a great restaurant, you're telling your friends, man, you got to come check this place out. And so what we found in Jesus, we want to give that away and let them know, hey, come and find this. And so we talk about helping others do the same, and that's really, it's discipleship. If you're familiar with the Great Commission, that's where Jesus sends his followers out to make disciples. And when we make disciples, the very first step is to take someone who is an unbeliever and to lead them from unbelief to belief. And then we continue the discipleship process to help them go from immaturity to maturity, from belief to maturity. So we're going from unbelief to belief and from belief to maturity. And so we're helping them to become like Jesus.
All right. So today we're kind of going to help start to equip people to do the same.
To do the same,
which begins with just simply talking about Jesus. So last week we talked about how we can either, as we wait for Jesus to return, there are two ways we can live our lives. Do you remember the two ways?
Yes, of course. I paid good attention last week when you preached, Jeff. So
This is a test.
The two ways. One, we can live like we're in the world and that this is all there is, or we can live for the world to come.
Yeah. And so investing in this world, being like, hey, I'm going to live like the world we're in, would be like investing in a company that we know is going to burn to the ground. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So what does it mean? Like, how if we don't want to invest in this world, how can we invest in the world to come? What does that look like?
How do we invest in the world to come? It makes me think of Jesus's Sermon on the Mount, where he says, this is from Matthew 6, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So he's saying that's where you put your treasure. And if you've ever seen a funeral procession driving down the road, the hearse never has a luggage rack. It never has a U-Haul trailer behind it because you can't take it with you. But as Randy Alcorn says, you can send it on ahead. And there are treasures that we can store up in heaven. And so that's a question for us. What's the treasure?
Yeah, and so like as we were praying through that this morning, I was thinking about the things that have occupied my mind throughout the last few years. Like, man, I would love to have a Jeep. Oh, I'd love to have a new mountain bike. I'd love to have a paddleboard. And how like I can just get so caught up in one of those things.
Yeah.
And realizing like now it's like, man, at the end of the day, Peter says all that's going to burn up.
Right.
Like that, like all that moth and rust will destroy. So I can't take any of that stuff with me. But the people that God has laid on my heart and said, like, Jeff, this is the person I want you to pursue, to love, to pray until they know Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like, I won't see my Jeep in heaven, But hopefully I'll get to see them because we can invest by bringing others with us.
Yes, so one of the ways we invest in eternity is by helping other people come to know Jesus. And then can you imagine getting to see them in eternity with us? And it's incredible. So yeah. That's one of the ways.
All right, so today, what are we talking about, Bill?
We're talking about how to become a church that's passionate about reaching the lost, passionate about having those kinds of conversations and sharing Jesus with them.
Not just an elder thing,
nope.
Not just a staff thing. We want our whole church to become passionate about, hey, how can we help others know God and become like Jesus?
Yes.
All right, so here's what I want to do. Before we jump in, we're going to talk about the ABCs of talking about Jesus, the ABCs of sharing your faith. But before we do, I want to kind of give us a sliding scale, and I want you to identify where you're at on the scale, right? So there's a sliding scale of your kind of mindset towards evangelism, right? So on one side, you have neutral. What would neutral be?
So that's maybe you just haven't really given it much thought, doesn't come to mind ever, so yeah, you're neutral.
You don't even think, right? Like, talk about Jesus. What?
Yeah.
This is revolutionary. Next to that, kind of on the left side of the scale, we would have a negative thought. So people have a negative feelings towards it. So what's negative feelings?
Yeah, you'd say, man, I'm never going to do that. I'm way over, not going to happen, not having those kind of conversations. You're not supposed to talk about religion and politics, right? It's not polite. So that's me.
No.
Right.
All right. Next to that, still on the left side of the scale, would be reluctant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is it? Who's someone who's reluctant?
So reluctant would be, you'd say, well, I'm willing to do that. It's probably going to be pretty awkward and not so good, but I'll do it if I have to.
Yeah,
so that's reluctant.
Like, don't want to, but if I have to, I think that's probably where I think maybe a good chunk of people would be.
Uh-huh.
So let's now move to the right.
Okay.
All right. So on the scale, now we're at desiring.
Yeah.
Right? So what is like a desiring mindset?
So a desiring mindset would say, hey, I really want to. I want to have these conversations. Man, Jesus has changed my life. But you might say, I really don't know how to.
Yeah.
I'm doing my best, but I don't know how. But I desire.
Okay.
To have these kind of conversations.
So, and I think there's probably another pretty big chunk of people there. So
yeah.
Some people might be reluctant today. It's like, how do we get you to that desire? But then next to desire, to the far right, would not just be desiring to do it, but being passionate about it. So what's a passionate mindset?
Yeah, so passionate would be, you're saying, man, I want to do whatever it takes to get people to Jesus. I love having these kinds of conversations. I'm all about it. So that's like that place where it becomes really a natural part of how you live.
Yeah, and so a text that's really stood out to our whole staff team with that passionate part is the paralytic in Mark 2,
yes.
Where they literally tore the roof off.
Come on.
To drop their friend down to get to Jesus. Like, that's passionate.
Whatever it takes to get somebody
to
Jesus.
So here's one of you. We'll not do a raise of hands because I don't want to guilt anybody. This is not a drive-by guilting day. Where are you on that scale? So just think like, where are you? Are you negative, reluctant? Are you desiring? Mm-hmm. Or are you passionate? But where are you?
Mm-hmm.
And just to pull back the curtain, our prayer as a staff team, as an elder team, is that our church would be passionate.
Mm-hmm.
And that it would not just be lip service, but it would be palatable that this is a church that at the depth of who they are, they're longing for people to know Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So let's, if we're going to get people passionate, we got to give them the ABCs.
All right. Keeping it simple. Put the cookies on the bottom shelf today for you, folks.
All right. ABCs. So the ABCs of sharing your faith, A, assume people want to hear about Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we tend to have, many of us have a natural assumption, I don't think they really want to hear about Jesus. And that's not a conversation that would even be worth bringing up. But the truth is that and this is kind of rewiring your mind, is to assume that people actually really would like to hear about Jesus. And one of the scriptures that comes to mind is in Ecclesiastes 3:11. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that God has made everything beautiful in its time, and he has put eternity into man's heart. He's put eternity into our hearts. And St. Augustine has a wonderful quote that comes at the beginning of his book, Confessions. And he says, God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. And that's spoken to everyone, that our hearts are restless until they find rest in God. And so we can actually assume that people really, they may not be fully aware of it, but that they really want to hear about how they can find ultimate rest and find that rest in Jesus.
Yeah, so there's an eternal-sized hole in everyone's heart until they know Christ.
Right.
It makes me think of, when it comes, like, so we want to make the assumption that people do want to hear about Jesus.
Right.
They might not know that they want to hear about Jesus, but we know they do.
Yeah.
So when someone's reached the pinnacle of success, like they've gotten the degrees, they've gotten the job, they've gotten the house, the second house, like they're like, I've made it.
Yeah.
It's like, we know that at the top of the mountain, there's this longing for more. Like, is this it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there's this longing for greater significance. Like, is this all? And we know, like, man, what they're longing for is Christ.
Right.
Only Christ will truly satisfy it. Only Christ will be their significance.
Yeah.
But when people are in the valley, just tanked, right? Like, what are they looking for?
The same thing. I mean, they're broken and they're looking for answers. And honestly, that's often a time when people are maybe a little bit more open to talking about Jesus. I can think of a couple folks from the church that said, yeah, man, over the last few months, I had friends that I've been sharing the gospel with for years,
yeah.
And their life just hit a really rough patch, and they called me up and said, I need Jesus.
Yeah,
and they got to lead their friends to Jesus. Like maybe both of them over the phone, yeah. Over FaceTime, which is pretty awesome that God uses that.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. So when I think about like we want to make the assumption that people want to hear about Jesus.
Right.
Timing is probably important, right? Like, and yeah. So that's why we'll talk about this later. But having open eyes, but like timing is important. There's a time to share. There's a time not to. So if you're in the line at Subway,
yes,
and your sandwich artist is creating the sandwich, like, and there's seven people behind you, this might not be like you're like that. That sandwich artist, he's longing for Jesus.
He is.
It's like, hey, that 6-inch sub, do you know how many people that can feed? He's like, probably one dude, maybe two, like, teenagers. I don't know. Like, he's like, well, my Savior could feed 5,000 people. like you don't know my Jesus. It's like this point, the seven people behind you are like, hey, just throw it in the toaster. Let's get on to this thing. Like, so maybe that's not the right time, but there are times when you see people longing for more,
yes.
Longing for hope, longing for significance, acceptance, security, all these things. Man, like we can assume, hey, we know what they're looking for is Jesus.
That's
let's
right.
make the assumption they want Jesus whether they know it or not.
Right.
Right. So okay. The first, assume. The B stands for build a bridge.
Build a bridge.
So as we get ready to talk about building a bridge, mm-hmm. let's just kind of preface this with what are some things that are common, like, dissimilarities or some common things that we have differences with non-Christians about.
Yeah, and these are things that you could, in a conversation, just suddenly get into a big debate about, and that would be politics, LGBTQ issues, abortion, all these things that are really important, but they are secondary and tertiary to talking to somebody about Jesus. And this is really important for you guys, because it's easy for a conversation to get derailed by these other things. Not that they're not important, but we got to go to the first.
Yeah, so we want to begin just building a bridge, building a relationship, mm-hmm. earning the right to be heard type stuff. And to do that, to build that bridge, we want to start with similarities instead of differences. So mm-hmm. instead of starting with politics, maybe start with, hey, tell me about your favorite sports team. Like, let's talk sports. Instead of talking about LGBTQIA stuff, maybe you talk about gardening or hobbies that you have. Like, mm-hmm. but start with common ground instead of differences. And so that's kind of how we begin to build a bridge, is by starting with similarities or starting where we have common ground. And so that mm-hmm. begins to develop the relationship. That begins to kind of set the stage for us to now have an opportunity mm-hmm. to share our faith.
Yeah.
It makes me think of, when I was a kid, I was an Air Force kid, military brat.
Yeah.
And so every couple of years we moved. And as I got older, I realized there are two types of military kids. You're either weird or well-rounded. There's only, it's like either, because you show up to a new place, like you either got to figure out, like, how do I fit in here? Or you just become the weird kid.
Uh-huh.
And so like, I like to think I became well-rounded. But
you're pretty well-rounded.
And humility.
You know a lot, a little bit about everything. Kind
but
of
but when I was in grad school and I was selling cars, like that well-roundedness uh-huh. allowed me to find common ground about anybody that was any of my customers.
Yeah.
And so it's like in the same way, like, man, all of our life experiences are kind of preparing us to have common ground with people who need Jesus. And so mm-hmm. now it's just a matter of leveraging your story,
yeah.
leveraging your experiences to kind of bridge that gap. And so building a bridge is simply kind of start, like, look at your story, look at your experiences, find how those connect with their story and their experiences, and begin to connect the dots.
Yeah, so. And so we're not advocating, again, for obnoxious evangelism like the Subway story that Jeff shared, but for really natural conversations which start with small talk. And the cool thing is that small talk can lead to big talk,
yeah.
right? And so when we think about how do we connect with somebody? How do I become a better conversationalist? This is just going to help you out in everything in life to be a little bit better with that.
Yeah. So if you want to be better at this, like maybe get a fake dollar bill that's a track, $100 bill, and then just leave that instead of a tip. That's really the home run, right?
No. Again, we're giving you the obnoxious evangelism things to avoid, okay?
All right. So how do you do it?
So building a bridge, finding common ground. The first thing when you're talking with somebody is notice what's important to them. Take time, slow down, notice what's important to that person, and that's what you can start to build a conversation about. And you can do that. Maybe they've got a t-shirt on with a logo or a favorite sports team or a band that they like, but you kind of notice, oh yeah, they're into this thing, and you can start talking about, hey, tell me more about that. So that's one thing, is just to notice what's important to them and then have that conversation. Another thing that you could do is to share a life connection. So notice what's important, but then also you could share a life connection, and that could be talking about family, and if you've got kids, I've got kids, if you see them, you know, maybe it could be the vocation, what they do for a living, you could talk about that. I love asking people, people are so interesting, and just to slow down and get to ask them and find out what's going on in their lives, how long you've been working here, what's your favorite thing on the menu, those kinds of questions, and you get to know them, and I love it. So make a life connection is helpful. You could also talk about a cultural connection, and that could be like, where's your favorite place to eat? What have you seen a good movie lately, or a book, or I mean, what songs are you listening to? If you had your dream car, what would it be? How's the hunting going? If the guy's decked out, all of those kinds of questions, just to connect culturally with somebody, and then just to start to have a good normal conversation with somebody.
So it's really just building a bridge is building a relationship.
Yeah.
All right. But what's the purpose of building a bridge?
Yeah, so the purpose of building the bridge is to cross it.
So that brings us to our C.
Right.
So A is assume people want to hear about Jesus. B, build a bridge. And the C is
cross
the bridge. Right. So bridges are built to be crossed. If all you do is talk sports, gardening, hobbies, you never get to Jesus, you're doing it wrong.
Right? We're missing out.
You don't want to be 3 years deep into building a bridge and people are like...
Yeah, and that's
still heard about Jesus.
And we got to talk about that because, there's a couple, I think, myths or maybe exaggerations of things. One of them is they say St. Francis of Assisi is known to have said, preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. And I'm not sure he ever said that because it's actually not really good advice because the gospel is a message.
Proclamation.
It's a proclamation. Yeah. It's good news. And while it's very important that you live a life that lines up with the gospel, that's huge. If you never actually share it, then they can't hear it to believe. And so we have to open up our mouths. I think another one is, we talk about earning the right to be heard. And it's amazing that in a very short amount of time, you can earn the right to be heard by you really care about that person, you're interested in their life, and you're listening to what they're saying. And as they connect with you, that you can go ahead and talk about what's going on spiritually. And that's something that I think I'd love for you to take away today, is that the most interesting thing about a person is their spiritual story, whatever it is.
Yeah.
The most interesting thing about a person is their spiritual story. And so if you really believe that, if you get that really plugged down into your mind, it's much more natural when you have a conversation, because you're like, I want to talk to him about the most interesting thing. And then we just listen. And as you listen deeply to another person, that is actually a way of earning the right to be heard. But I'll also tell you this, Jesus earned the right to be heard when he died on the cross. So we can go we can go to the gospel pretty quickly in a conversation.
So walk me through, you kind of have a movement for conversation.
Right.
So you said surface level to serious to spiritual. So what's unpack that a little bit.
Yeah, I think this is helpful too, is just so you can kind of think what happens in conversation. If you stepped outside of it and thought about how a conversation flows, typically you're going to start out with small talk, which is going to be a surface conversation. Talk about the weather, talk about
just building the bridge.
You're building the bridge, just regular stuff, and that builds a connection. But then your surface level conversation goes to a serious conversation where you're asking a little bit, getting a little bit deeper, and it feels natural and normal. And then it's surprising how that serious conversation can become a spiritual conversation. And the way that you do that is through what I would call asking connected questions. So as you're thinking about becoming better at conversation, using connected questions really helps. And that means when you have like a surface level talk, like you say, hey, what you up to this weekend? And a person says, well, I'm remodeling, I'm working on my basement. I got to put in a new room. And you say, oh man, yeah. So you're hanging the drywall, you're getting the plumbing redone. Oh yeah. And you talk about that on a surface level, but then you ask a connected question. The question would be, what made you want to remodel your basement? Well, you know, actually my sister-in-law is getting ready to move in with us, and so we're going to get everything ready. Well, then you can follow that with another connected question and say, really, your sister-in-law, man, so you guys are, you know, she's moving in with you. What led to that? And then the person might say, well, actually, she's been in a really, really bad relationship, and she's finally getting out of that, so she and her kid, they're going to come and live with us. Suddenly, you've gone from a surface all the way down to something really important in their heart, in their life, and that conversation can very easily go into what spiritually is happening with them. So does that make sense? You kind of follow that frame? So surface, serious, spiritual, and connected questions just naturally keep the flow of the conversation, and you'd be surprised how quickly you can just really go somewhere deep with what's going on in somebody's life.
Yeah, that's good. And so you do the work of building the bridge, developing that relationship, earning the right to be heard. Eventually, you want to cross that bridge. And that could be the question of asking, like, when do I cross it? Like, mm-hmm. I don't want to try to cross it too soon and get shut out of their lives. Mm-hmm. I don't want to wait too long and then lose my opportunity. And I would say this is where we want to have open eyes to see where God's opening the door. And so a lot of times when people are experiencing loneliness, this is God's opening that door. When people are experiencing brokenheartedness, like they lost a loved one or a relationship that they thought was going to go all the way ended, like there's brokenheartedness that you can speak into. There are other things like spiritual darkness when people are depressed or experiencing anxiety. And so we kind of know, like, hey, when we're seeing these things, God is opening the door. Yeah. And it's our job to say, like, hey, can I tell you about the greatest hope I have?
Yeah.
And his name's Jesus.
Yeah.
And you know, I too, man, I feel like I had no hope or no purpose. I feel like I had no significance. And so I found that through knowing Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Yeah. Can I tell you about him? Yeah. And you're like, Jeff, I feel like I don't know what to do. Once I get to that place, do your best. this is a deep conviction of mine. Like, I believe God's the one who brings about salvation, not me.
Right.
So I preach the gospel every Sunday. And I go home and take a nap. Uh-huh. I don't go home and be like, did I say this right? Could I have said this better? I'm like, God's going to do, like, I could preach the best message in the world.
Right.
And if God hasn't opened ears and hearts, it'll fall flat.
That's right.
I could preach the most bogus, worst message, like not heresy, but like just like it's like that flopped on that one. And people, like 12 people gave their life to Jesus today. It's like, what? How? Like, this is God. So it's like, just do your best.
Yeah.
And trust God to work it out. Like, let's have a bigger God.
Right,
understand the sovereignty and the providence of God. And say, God, I trust your bigness. I'm going to do my best. But at the end of the day, God, it's on you, not me, if this person comes to Christ.
That's right, yeah. And so if you're nervous and you're like, I don't know what to say, that's good, because probably you'll listen more. Okay? You'll listen more to what that person is saying, and you'll be listening to the Spirit in the moment for him to guide you. And that's huge for us as we are interacting with people, is listening for the Lord in the moment. It's not rocket science. We don't have to have a theological degree, but if you have a relationship with Jesus, you are qualified to have a conversation with somebody else. It's like if you're recommending a restaurant, you don't have to know how to cook all the food that the restaurant has. You just need to say, man, come and check it out. Come taste and see. And when a person tastes and sees how good Jesus is, He the proof is in the pudding, right?
Yeah, most of us just share, like, listen to their story, truly care about them, share your story. God can do a ton with it.
Yeah.
So let's wrap up with if the ABCs are assume, build a bridge, cross the bridge, I would say that prayer is the pen that writes the letters. So the pen that writes the A, the B, the C would be prayer. Yeah. So let's just wrap up with why is prayer so important? Like, why is it so important for us to prayerfully assume, prayerfully build, prayerfully cross?
Yeah. So because the spiritual world is real and we're in a battle. Paul talks about that. And so one of the weapons that we have for the battle is prayer. And Paul writes at the beginning of 2 Corinthians, he says, the God of this world, that's Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. So that there literally is a blinding over people's eyes where they can't see how good Jesus is. Because we know if they did, once you see how good he is, you're going to come running to him. But there's a blindness. And so Paul, he actually prays for the Ephesians. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be opened so that you could see and know the hope that you're called to. And when we read about Paul going out and sharing the gospel in Philippi, it says that he goes and he meets this woman named Lydia. She's a fashion designer. And it says the Lord opened her heart. And she heard what Paul was saying and she became a believer. And so the role of prayer in our lives as we think about, I want to be someone who is passionate for the lost, is I'm praying and asking for God to open their hearts.
Yeah, so some good verses to underline would be 2 Corinthians 4:4, just to set the stage, you know, Satan is working to keep people from Jesus.
Right.
And then to go in response to that, to underline Ephesians 1:18,
yeah,
where Paul, and adopt the prayer of Paul,
yeah,
that Paul's praying for people's eyes
open their eyes. Opened.
And so we want to adopt that and say, God, I too want to pray for this person that God would open their eyes. Those are two great verses.
That's good.
For me, thinking about that spiritual reality of 2 Corinthians 4:4, for most of my Christian life, like, I always assumed people coming to know Jesus was an intellectual issue. Mm-hmm. So I thought, man, if I can know apologetics, if I can know a defense to my faith, then like whatever the intellectual question is, I can have a response to. Like, you, like, well, I don't understand how God can be all good, completely powerful, and evil to exist. I was like, from the belt, like, let's talk. You know, like, and no one ever gets argued to Jesus.
Say that again.
No one ever gets argued to Jesus. But I would say this, like, deeper than the intellectual issue, because there are questions that I want to legitimize. There are questions, but deeper than the intellectual issue is that there's a spiritual issue. And mm-hmm. so we want to cover this from the very get-go. Mm-hmm. On prayer.
Yeah, yeah. So we're praying for God to open their eyes. And you can literally pray, God, I pray for a divine appointment. Cross my path with someone or open my eyes to a person that I might see every day at the office or in the classroom or whomever it is. Open my eyes so I can see what's going on and then give me boldness. Give me open eyes and give me boldness. In Acts chapter 4, the early church, they literally pray for boldness. Because they were just like us. And so you pray for that and ask the Spirit to give you boldness.
Yeah. So one final word, and then Bill, I'd love for you to just close us out by sharing the story of sharing your faith with one of your former students,
yeah,
one of your teachers. So
yeah.
Just real quick, so as you guys think about sharing your faith and implementing the ABCs, I'm going to use a football analogy. I'm just going to go ahead and throw this guy under the bus. I'm sorry, Tyler Mackey. I know you don't like football. There's a field that's green with yards, and you move down it to an end zone. An end zone is when you score a touchdown, all right? So so a lot of times, I think, like, for us, the touchdown, Tyler's like, I'm going to kick him in the shin later. That's fine. I'll receive that kick. We can be on the 25-yard line looking towards the end zone and think, there's no way I'm getting this person over there. Like, there's no way, like, I'm going to see this person cross that end zone line. And so, like football, though, the goal is not just to get a touchdown from the first play. Mm-hmm. It's like you've got four downs to get a first down, and then it resets. And it's like, hey, just move the ball down the field,
mm-hmm.
and then keep. And so, and then as you're watching the game unfold, it's like, hey, this play we threw to an inside receiver, he moved the ball. We handed it to the running back, he moved the ball. We hit the tight end, that's Travis Kelce. And so hit the tight end and the outside. But all of a sudden, it's like, man, and only one person will cross that finish line, but every person along the way was super important.
Yeah.
Man, if we want to see people come to know Jesus as a church, it's a team sport.
That's right.
And everybody's got a role to play.
Right.
And we all do our part. And sometimes we'll get the joy of leading someone across that finish line.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes our role was on the back end, but it's just as important to help move that ball down the field.
So that big truth for you today is that evangelism is a process. It's a process of conversations that happen in a person's life. I think first and foremost about with my kids, man, they have both come to know Jesus, but there were hundreds of conversations and moments of talking about God and sharing the gospel with them over and over and over again until it was that moment when the Spirit moved and their hearts were opened and they came to know him. So evangelism, it is a process of having conversations with people. So one thing...
So the good news is... we're going to keep equipping.
Yes.
So we'll have more. Like, this isn't the one and done, so we'll continue to equip you. But Bill, just to close this out, tell me, just for a word of encouragement, tell us the story about your former student.
Yeah, encouraging thing. So I used to live downtown. I lived in that white building right across the street from us. And I can remember one guy that I started walking with and having spiritual conversations. We ended up, after many conversations, sitting on that roof. And I shared with him, talked about what the Lord could do in his life. And he said, okay, man, yeah, I really want that. Let's pray. And so we prayed, and God began to change and transform his desires, and he began to walk with the Lord. And so the next thing that we did was I said, hey, let's go prayer walk and walk around these streets of this downtown and pray for God to renew our city from all the blown out buildings to all the issues that we have downtown and to the new businesses that could come in here, the new parks. And most of all, that people could come to know Jesus. And so we go on a prayer walk, this guy, and as we're coming to the end of it and coming right back to the front door of the building, I look down the street and I see one of my former students. For those of you who don't know me, I used to teach English, and I had this student who was a great guy, really stuck out in my mind, kind of a golden child, was like varsity football. He was the man. Well, this was about 5 years after he'd graduated from high school, and as I looked down the street and saw him, I called out his name. And he walked towards us, and as he got closer, he looked like a zombie. He looked like the walking dead. He was emaciated. His eyes were sunken in. He was just unkempt. And it was, you could tell things had gone pretty rough. And it turned out he had gotten out of jail the night before, slept under a bridge, and then was walking downtown just trying to figure things out. And he said, oh, man, Mr. Jolly. He looked me right in the eyes. And he said, I need help. And there was a boldness that suddenly rose up within me. It's this God's spirit. And I looked him right back in his eyes, and I said, you need Jesus. Right into his eyes, and he said, yeah, I need something. And I said, come in. And so we brought him into the living room, and we heard his story and heard about the drug addiction, how things had fallen apart with his family, and how this guy was just, everything had fallen apart. And we said, Jesus wants to restore that. He loves you. He forgives you. He wants to set you free from all of these things and transform your life. And we shared that with him, and he said, yeah, I need that. And I said, can we pray with you? And so we began to pray for him and ask for, and he gave his life to Jesus. And it was so interesting. This is kind of amazing. As we were praying with him, we could see that God was doing something in his life, significant. And after we finished praying, we said, what was going on as we were praying for it? And he's like, man, I just felt like this heat all over me and this light and this peace and this goodness. It was the living God, right? And he said, and I saw these three pictures. I saw a picture of me being reunited with my family. I saw a picture of me having a ministry to people that are coming out of the same life that I've been in. And I saw that I would have a family. These three pictures. This is a guy who's like just out of jail, just life's, everything's falling apart, and God is moving in his life right there. And we say, wow, that is awesome. And we begin to walk with him and disciple him and help him to know God and to help him to become like Jesus and then to help others do the same. And I got off the phone with him. We talked just a few weeks ago. This has been 10 years since that moment right out there on the sidewalk. And he got reconciled to his family. He is married with three kids, and he has invested most of his life since then in ministry, especially to folks that are coming out of all those things that he was in. Isn't God good?
Yeah.
And that's what he does. As we open our eyes, open our hearts, as we pray, and then we open our mouths.
That's good.
And that Jesus gets glorified.
All right, so amen. Assume people want to hear about Jesus.
Come on.
Build a bridge, build that relationship. Hey, cross that bridge.
Right on.
Look for open opportunities to tell people or share with people your story of how they need Jesus too. Cover all this in prayer, and then trust God to
That's
do
right.
the work. So let me pray for us. God, thank you so much for just the time to talk about sharing our faith. God, the first step to discipleship is for someone to hear the good news so they can respond to the good news. And so God, I ask that you would stir the spirit of our church right now, that we would become more passionate, not negative, not reluctant, God, that we would become passionate about helping people to know you, because we know you're the best thing in the world. You're the best thing ever. You're the most important thing, and God, and you've invited us called us into a relationship with yourself. And God, we want to see people know you. So God, be with our church, move through our church, and let us see people come to know you. In your name we pray. Amen.